You know, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks has pointed out that English speakers often miss out on the significance of a word in the Torah because of what he refers to as the fallacy of translatability, which is the assumption that one language is fully translatable into another language, which of course is a fallacy. I mean, you hear a word translated from one language to another and you assume that it has the same meaning in both languages, but it doesn't. It often doesn't. Languages are only partially translatable. That's why translation is such difficult work. The English word tact, for example, has no precise equivalent in the Hebrew language, right? They say Eskimos have 50 words for snow. So Israelis have 0 words for tact, right? So there's no precise translation of that. So the first pasuk in Parshas Ekev has a bunch of words that would fit that criteria of something that's not perfectly translatable, meaning the word tishmu'un, right? It can mean to hearken, to hear, to completely obey, to pay attention to. But even the word Ekev doesn't translate properly. Does it mean the cause of, as a consequence of, a heel, right? It can mean all of those things. So Chazal understand that it's the Torah's way of referring to mitzvah sha'adam dash ba'akevav. But that also is difficult. Why would the key to unlocking the brachas of the Torah specifically relate to the mitzvah sha'adam dash ba'akevav and not to other mitzvahs, to mitzvahs that we trample on, and not to other mitzvahs? Furthermore, Chazal tell us about David HaMelech that he commented that I used to say Elich L'makom Ploni, but then Hayuraglei Melichos Asil Batek Nesios L'Batek Midrashos. That I used to say to myself, you know, I'll go to a certain place, and then I would just find myself just drawn to Batek Nesios and Batek Midrashos. So I don't know about you, but when I don't have like a very set schedule and where to be and knowing when I'm supposed to be where, I tend to not make the best use of my time. Like it's very rare that I don't have anything to do, and I end up I'm in the Beis Medrash. How did I end up here? Right. The default is usually not. David was just like trying to clean his garage out and make himself lunch, and he magically found himself in the Beis Medrash. What does it mean? Ragle melichos to see. If that's really what happened, he's probably the only person in human history with that experience. And third question. Perek Yud Pasuk Yud Beis. Moshe tells Klal Yisrael the famous line of Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoel Meimach Ki Im Liyira Es Hashem V'Lelechas B'Chol Drachav Lavoso Lavod Es Hashem Elokecha B'Chol Vavcha U'V'Chol Nafshcha. And the Gemara in Brachos famously asks, V'Chi Yira Shemayim Milsa Zutrasi? Is Yira Shemayim such a small thing? And the Gemara famously answers, In L'Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a Milsa Zutrasa. So the truth is that the question is even stronger if the Gemara wouldn't have just stopped at Yira Shemayim. It shouldn't have asked, V'Chi Yira Shemayim Milsa Zutrasi? It should have said, V'chi Yir Hashem L'lechus B'chol D'rachav L'avoso L'avod Hashem L'kecha B'chol V'avcha V'chol Nafshcha. Is all of that a Milsa Zutrasa? That's we're burying the lead over here. Why is it only focused on why did the Gemara stop at Kiyum Lira? You know, one of my favorite answers to that question of L'gabe Moshe Milsa, or explanations of that answer of L'gabe Moshe Milsa Zutrasa, is that if you were Legabi Moshe, if you were next to Moshe Rabbeinu, you'd be so inspired that Yira Shemayim would be a Milsa Zutrasa. I mean, it doesn't mean that for Moshe, it means anyone in proximity to Moshe Rabbeinu would be a Milsa Zutrasa. That is very much not the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk, because this was Moshe Rabbeinu's goodbye speech. So you would say, what's a big deal, Yira Hashem, and it's only not a big deal if you're with him. And then he's like, and by the way, I'm out of here. So like, what is that? So how is that, how does that remain a Milsa Zutrasa? So Rabbi Tzal Rudinsky suggested an idea that really resonated with me. You know, there are some days that when you look at what needs to get done and all of your commitments, it seems incompatible with the Beis Medrash. It seems like it's just not going to happen. Learning requires a lot of focus, and you can't really learn if your phone is on you. At least I can't learn when my phone is on me. I need to go to a different room in order to be able to. Even turning it on, do not disturb, it helps a little when you put it on, do not disturb, but I literally need to be in a different room if I'm really going to be able to focus. When a person leads a busy life and you're full of responsibilities, it's difficult to even imagine finding the focus necessary to really accomplish in learning. And even when the active distraction isn't present, it doesn't leave our minds. And when it does leave our minds, our brains are too exhausted to focus on something else. It might be 11 a.m., but we know that the day is over because it's not going to be a productive day because our minds are all over the place. We once asked Rabbi Reis in which midah of Rav Pam he most emulates. And he said, I really can't tell you what I most emulate, but I can tell you what I'm most envious of, and that is that when Rav Palm was dealing with major communal controversies, he could just open his Gemara, find complete focus as if nothing else is happening in the world. It could be the most chaotic time, but he opens the Gemara and all of that disappears, and he's just totally focused. I've seen this with my Rebbe, I've seen this with Rav Schachter. He could be dealing with things that make a person lose sleep for weeks at a time, and he opens his Gemara, it doesn't take an ounce away from his concentration in learning. It's almost superhuman. Some of the Gedolei Olam, who wrote classical Svarim, the Maram Shif, the Rashash, or Ephraim Zal Margolios, didn't learn full time. They weren't Rosh Yeshiva, they weren't Rabbanim. You read the Svarim and you imagine that to write such Svarim, you would need the kind of concentration that you have at Ni'ilah and Yom Kippur. But they were writing in between helping customers in their store. They'd get off a call with a customer, swivel their chair around, and write a Ha'ara on a Sugya and Yevamos. You know, it's a Pella that people were able to do this. So how does one accomplish this? It says, though v'kovei Hashem yachlifu koach, when everything we do is part of Avodas Hashem, there's a seamless transition from one to the other. That's what Rabbi Rudinsky's Yisod is, that when we stand a chance of being able to focus on our Torah, to focus on our learning, despite everything else that goes on in our lives, when we view everything else that goes on in our lives as also part of Avodas Hashem, not as a distraction from, but as part of Avodas Hashem. When, in Rav Huttner's words, we don't live a double life, but a broad life, so there's room to be energized by all that we do and carry us from one Avodah to the next. It's a much more seamless transition. And that's maybe what the Yisod that can answer all of our questions. David HaMelech was saying, Raglai Malichos Asi, when I would have thought that I'd be too physically spent and exhausted to go back into learning, Raglai Malichos Asi, my legs were energized because everything I was doing was L'Shem Shemayim. It was all Avodas Hashem. You know, Rav Lapiansky pointed out that, not to get political with the Haredi draft and everything, but he said, many Haredim are reasonably concerned that serving the IDF will take them away from religion and Avodas Hashem. Well, even though the data is that for the average Hester student, their religious commitment is enhanced by army service. And he said, well, why is that? Because if army service is a distraction, a separate obligation having nothing to do with the Beis Medrash, then there are few distractions that can rival army service in intensity. It is extremely intense. It wouldn't make any sense to stay awake to daven mar with kavana, let alone to learn anything, after you're going through the physically grueling and exhausting days that soldiers have to put in. But when you view it as a religious obligation, when you view it as part of Avodas Hashem, which is what the Hesder Hashkafa is, that it's part of, you know, it's a major part of the Avodas Hashem, so then it energizes all of the Avodas Hashem. It inspires more learning. And we all know that learning with Mesiris Nefesh accomplishes exponentially more than learning without Mesiris Nefesh. And that's why you have these massive Talmidei Chachamim that managed to give away months and years of their lives to be able to serve in the army, and they remain for not just as committed, but even more committed. And the same is true with people who have busy professional lives. If my job is my job and my religious life is separate, so it's exhausting. And somebody with a busy job will not find the kochos easily to stay up late or to get up early to learn. But if my job is a mitzvah of supporting my family and my community, then raglei malichos osi. Then it brings me to the Beis Medrash. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ma Hashem Elokecha shoel me'imach. And the truth is, Yiras Shamayim is not a milsa zutrasa. It is hard. But if your entire life is Avodas Hashem, then you will have exercised your Avodas Hashem muscles all day and all night, and your stamina will become incredible. It's a Moshe Rabbeinu. When you live a life similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, Gabi Moshe Rabbeinu, assuming all responsibility, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Zvachim, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen Gadol before Aaron. He was a Melech. He was everything. And so assuming all of those responsibilities, taking care of his people, it's not something that he viewed as separate from his Avodas Hashem. It was part of his Avodas Hashem. And then it becomes more manageable. Then it becomes a milsa zutrasa. It's no coincidence that the very same pasuk teaches the obligation to say mea brachos b'chol yom. The concept of 100 brachos is to connect our entire day and our entire lives to service of the Ribbono Shalom. That's how Yiras Shamayim becomes a milsa zutrasa. And maybe that's the meaning of mitzvah shadam dash ba'akevav, the mitzvah that a person sometimes doesn't even see as mitzvahs. We don't even appreciate that they're mitzvahs because they're part of everyday life. So if a person learns to harness those mitzvahs, see them as a meaningful part of Avodas Hashem, then they become the key to all the brachos. There's only so much time that we can dedicate each day to Torah and to tefillah, right? In our shul, shachris on a typical day, non-Monday and Thursday, is 35 minutes. There's a 40-minute afyomi that precedes it. Mincha Maariv is 22 minutes. So if that's the extent of your Avodas Hashem for the whole day, you end up with about 90% of your day being taken away from Hashem. So how much bracha can it actually bring? But if Eikef Tishmu'un, if we know how to incorporate all of it, the whole workday and the family time and everything into Avodas Hashem, then it unlocks an incredible shefa of bracha. We can unlock the rest of the 90% to add to that sense of Avodas Hashem. This is what the Rambam talks about in the Shemona Prakim, in the fifth parak of Shemona Prakim. The Rambam talks about that a person can eat because the food is delicious and they just like to indulge themselves. And he says, that's come out like a behemoth. That's the way a behemoth behaves, right? Or a person can eat because the food is healthy and they want to be energized and they want to be healthy. And he says, that's a madrega, but it's not the madrega. The madrega is to eat so you could be healthy, so you could serve Hashem, right? There's that next step, right? Meaning to eat to be healthy because being healthy feels good. All right, but for what? It feels good is not, that's a glorified, level that's beyond the behema, but it's not really anything. But if it's all the eating and the sleeping and the everything that we do, everything mundane that we do is all geared toward Avodas Hashem, so that energizes our entire mahus, our entire essence. Okay, I thought that was...